I want to invite a couple of team members to share a little bit of their experience. Susan will go first. Dancing Jordan will go last. And we won't forget that, Jordan.
Being told to wait one moment here. Tears were running down my eyes as I watched that video. I just really love the people there and miss them. And it's wonderful to come back, but part of my heart is still there with the lovely brothers and sisters. They all send greetings, and thank you so much for sending us, and they're praying for you as well. Since we just got back Friday night, still a little jet-lagged, and haven't really processed everything yet, I just want to share a little bit of what God taught me so far. We read Radical, and I saw radical faith. Everywhere I went, I saw radical faith. The first Sunday there, Nikki, my dear friend who I do ministry with, drove us to church, and she said, as we're driving there, "This is the most dangerous thing you'll do here, going to church. And a lot of the roads are blocked off, and there's security. You go through, you know, around gates, and they check under your car. They open the trunk and look in. You're not allowed to go close to the, drive close to the church because they're afraid of car bombs. When you get to church, they you can't carry anything in, no bags, and you're checked with metal detectors. This was the church that was bombed 3 years ago. And by a miracle, the car bomber got caught up on a motorbike and didn't get all the way to the church. And the car blew up, and 8 were killed instead of hundreds. Part of the pastoral announcements at church were, in case of emergency, please walk slowly, calmly to the exits, because that was a real, real risk. I sat there in this packed church with hundreds of people worshiping God, and I was just humbled by their radical faith. Coming to church cost me nothing. There's no risk. And it was, there aren't words to describe what it was like to worship with those people who Sunday after Sunday are there worshiping. During our staff appreciation dinner for Giro, Nikki and I prayed with the women one-on-one. These women have answered God's call to care for these orphans 24/7, 365. Their life is pretty hard. And these kids, behaviors can be really difficult. But these moms keep loving them and caring for them. And as they came for prayer and kneeled in front of us and gave us their prayer requests, I was so humbled, I thought, I shouldn't be here praying for them. I should be washing their feet. Their prayer requests were for things like, give me joy in my prayer, give me patience with these kids. Some of the women, one of them was a single woman who really gave up her life. She lives out of this village caring for kids, and her family's not supportive of it. They think she should quit and return to the city and get married and have her life. Again, I was humbled by their radical faith. During the retreat we had for the care centers, there are 7 different care centers, and the leaders all came for a weekend of teaching. Bill was teaching on loving our neighbors, and he's asking, who are your neighbors? And that the list went up, and one of them was our enemies. From a previous conversation, I knew one of the uncles there, Bullis, his sister had been kidnapped by Boko Haram with those 300 kids, girls that we heard about. He said his village, where his grandparents lived, was completely destroyed, and his grandparents are now wandering in the bush with no place to live. And he's talking about loving his enemies. People have brought great harm to his family because of their Christian faith. And I'm thinking, love my enemies. Who are my enemies? I'm humbled to be in the presence of these Christians whose radical faith causes them to love their enemies, real enemies who could cause real harm. Later that week, that same uncle who was at a care center in a Muslim community received threats from Boko Haram against himself and the kids. Love your enemies is radical faith. There's lots more stories. I was only given 3 or 4 minutes of radical faith of some of the kids and their stories and what they've experienced and how they now love and serve God. Of missionaries who have given up their culture and their comforts to serve God in a pretty tough place, but are doing it with joy and really loving God. As we were leaving, we stopped at one care center, Kaguro. It's out in a village kind of in the middle of nowhere, and I noticed it wasn't surrounded by a fence. And I asked the caregiver, Uncle Sunday, if he had any concerns about security, and his reply is, "We trust God." I'm humbled by being with and observing so many Christ followers who have radical faith, and I pray that I will learn from their example. Thank you.
Besides bringing back a very gorgeous outfit, which, you know, they tricked me into being the only one to wear one. I went to Nigeria thinking I was going to be doing a lot of stuff for them. And I'm coming back thinking about all the things that they've done for me. The music you heard today is something that we heard every day. The joyous singing, the glorification of God, like, you know, I feel about that big now. They're this tall. The littlest kids helping the biggest kids. And as all teenagers, when we were painting, there was one little short kid, and every time he went by, they went over in his head. But, you know, he gave it back to them. But he smiled. And this is something that really knocked me flat. I was able to read the Bible every day. I got up early in the morning, but they live the Bible. I'm only reading the Bible. The old story is, how many times have I read the Bible? How many times have I gone through the Bible? And how many times has the Bible gone through me? Well, it started more than I ever thought it would be. I am very happy to go there. I was very happy to do what I could. But as I say, they did more for me than I did for them. And I thank you, Bill, for having me with you. Thank you.
Thanks.
There's not really much to add. Susan and Frank have been very eloquent about it. And I said last time I went that living by faith doesn't mean much to us when you see what they live by. An unbelievable faith. They have nothing that we would value, but they have faith that I value. And it's deep and it's real, and they live it every day. And they trust in God constantly, because that's really what they have. That's their richness. And we are tremendously poor when you're around them, because you see the richness of their faith, and it far, far exceeds the richness of what we have here. So it's a humbling experience. I recommend anybody to go. There are difficulties. There's no electricity half the time. There's lots of bugs. There's lots of issues. But you see the smiles, and you see the faith, and it gives you strength. So can't add much more than that, except for Jordan's dance.
Hold it to your mouth.
Whatever you see in PCOG stays in PCOG. Well, I don't know if, you know, I could have 5 minutes to tell you all this, but, you know, when Bill and Charlie were, you know, preaching radical, us being radical and going out and, you know, doing God's work, I was like, you know, I represent Jesus 24/7 every day, you know. And then one day when Bill, he approached me and he goes, oh, Jordan, you know, we have people willing to sponsor you to go to Africa. You know, I pulled a little different strokes. I was like, what are you talking about, William? You know, yeah, I'm radical, but, you know, radically afraid of going. Yeah, and, you know, I was just terribly afraid. I was thinking, like, the worst, you know, a plane was going to crash, you know, I was going to get hijacked by, you know, some terrorist over there, you know. I mean, all these people are like, oh, Jordan, we can't wait for you to go to, you know, Jerry. And I'm like, to my sister, I leave my... And, you know, I was absolutely petrified. And to one person I'll give thanks is Manny Cuellar, you know, when he used to drive me to the men's Bible study, which, you know, a shameless plug in just a little bit. If you have time to come between 7:30 and 8:30 on Friday, you know, come to the Bible study. Pretty good. And, you know, I remember Manny, he called me and he was asking me, you know, if I wanted to go to Nigeria and how about feel. And then every time he'd pick me up and bring me to the men's Bible study, we'd always talk about Africa. And he really felt the faith of me going in. I mean, all you guys did. I mean, I really give you thanks to, you know, just give me the moral support. I mean, it really, you know, got me through and got me the extra, you know, get to go to, you know, Nigeria, and I just really thank you guys for that. So I guess finally I can start with actual events in Nigeria, which was, you know, I finally get to the very first day of Nigeria. We get to the very first night, you know, I'm sitting in my room, like, you know, finally here. It's Nigeria. And, like, the loudest is... It was funny because I'm trying to settle down and the loudest just boom, just hits. This happens. I instantly go into like DEFCON 5 mode. I'm like, what is going on here? But luckily it just happened to be a transformer. But, you know, God really did work his, you know, his faith in, you know, well, me, Bill, I mean, no, not me, me, Russ, and Frank did most of the time was working the transition. I was at the scene in the bathrooms. And, you know, I met such wonderful kids there. The boy that Frank was talking about, the boy that they painted, you know, they painted, his name was Samson. It was so funny because, you know, he's 13 years old, but he's like, yay, big. But, you know, he just always has that spirit. And I always joke to other boys, you know, you make fun of him now, but, you know, give him like 5 years. But, I mean, it's truly, I mean, these boys told me their stories, and it was so wondrous. There was another boy, Kephas, and as you've seen, one of Bill's, I guess, students, their sister was kidnapped by Boko Haram. You know, he actually had strength. I said to Kephas, you know, just asking about his life story, he said he'd really like to become a military man to protect the people of Nigeria and to crush, as he said, Boko Haram. You know, so, you know, this shows during the fear of, I guess, terrorism, can rise the greatest of soldiers, literally, spiritually, and, you know, really, I guess, spiritually and literally. And, I mean, these boys had such, you know, some sad and, you know, just brave stories. And I'm just, as all of you heard from the other three, like, I've just totally, completely humbled. You know, I had another fear, as, you know, Susan would have these meetings usually a couple of days after we did our works at our various places. And I told him, you know, I was, you know, even before coming, I was intimidated, you know. I live here in America. I mean, there is still danger here in America, but it's not, as Susan said, or they said earlier, that, you know, we don't expect, you know, a car bomb to go off in a church. We don't expect us to be persecuted for just being Christians. And this is an everyday thing for them. So, like, who am I to, I guess, you know, tell them everything's going to be better or tell them, you know, the godly way to live life when they're living their faith just by, you know, being a Christian. I don't have that type of animosity here in America, or at least, you know, nothing, no good will come of it because we have laws in place that really protect us from that. And fast forwarding to one of the dinners that we had, there's always been a struggle. Well, it's been a recent struggle to me that I said at the men's Bible study, another shameless plug, 7:30 to 8:30, was that I had a hard time in this aspect of prayer. Not that I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, but I always was really concerned of praying, I guess, healing or like claiming it in the Lord's name, because I mean, I guess God doesn't work on my time, so we always want something instantly. We always want the prayer to just manifest down. And I was scared because, you know, getting a little off track when I'm not here at the church or at school, I spend a lot of my time taking my grandmother. She's a diabetic. She goes to dialysis, and she has very weak legs. So most of my days up are, you know, walking up and down the stairs, using the bathroom, you know, cooking her meals or picking up certain medications or groceries for her. And I had a hard time praying over my grandmother because I was just so scared that, you know, my prayer wouldn't enact, and then I'd feel like such, not I had no, have no faith in God, but just feel so foolish. And it really was a, you know, just it was a, just really in my heart that, you know, I can't pray healings, I can't pray things that, you know, and claim it in God's name. And which was funny because good old Bill, when we had our prayer service, Susan and Nikki prayed for women, and Bill chose me to pray for him with the guys. And I did another different strokes. What are you talking about, William? And, you know, I don't know why Bill chose me, but he did. And I respect Bill for that. But and then, like, the very first person we had, I believe his name was Musa. And him and his wife were having problems having children. And, you know, in the culture of Nigeria, having children is a very big aspect of their, I guess, even of their Christian faith, you know, to have someone carry on your legacy. And I think they've been trying for, like, I think they've been married for, I think it was like 16 years or something like that, and they didn't have any children. And instantly I laid hands on them, you know, I just remember the story of Abraham, you know, how in his struggles of having, his wife and struggles having children. So, I mean, I prayed over that. I told him, you know, just like it said that, you know, you will have children either, that, you know, will be numerous as the grains of sand in the desert. And then the next person, I believe it was Lanz or Felix, one of those two, and they prayed. They just asked for wisdom. They just asked for wisdom. And instantly, I landed in them. So I just thought of, you know, I believe it was Solomon who asked, you know, when the Lord asked him, what did you want? He asked for wisdom. And, you know, I prayed wisdom over that. And it was just a miraculous thing that even though, you know, I'm thousands of miles away, God still, you know, I'm helping these, well, I won't say helping, but persisting in the face of them, God is also still working in me as well. I mean, it's a 24/7 deal when you in the light of the Lord. And it was just, you know, it was just great. And I kind of thank Bill, you know, maybe it was a, you know, just maybe something worth God working through, but it was a very wonderful time. And just one little tidbit going back to the kids, which is Peter always warned me that I'm a man of my stature. I guess they call them rich Nigerians. So, you know, everybody would come to me speaking in their, you know, their language, and I'm like, I don't understand you guys. And, you know, I know Bill, Susan, and everybody would joke about, you know, me staying there or finding a wife down there. And and the thing that made it even funnier, because, like, some of the TH boys were like, oh, Jordan, man. Like, especially Samson, he goes, sure, and how old are you? I go, oh, I'm 22. He goes, are you married? I go, no, I'm not married. I'm a single man. He goes, man, a guy your stature would have at least two children by now. And it was weird because, you know, some of the boys had older sisters, even younger sisters. Like, oh, Jordan, you got to meet my sister. She's... And, you know, it was just, I mean, just Bill and all of them were just being funny. And then one of them were like, oh, Jordan, you should get a house and stay right next to me. I know a place where, I mean, they didn't want us to go, which was kind of funny because on our cancellation, you know, we're completely bummed by our cancel, but, you know, we had things to do.
they were ecstatic. They were like, oh, yeah, before another week.
And, you know, it was just, I mean, it's just them to have that, I mean, just to end it all. It was just a wondrous time full of faith, you know, and a little bit of testing. As Susan said, you know, they lived the faith every day. I mean, they, or a better passage, what Bill said when in one of our meetings, you know, there's a battle between Muslims and Christians over Nigeria, and, you know, we might not be able to completely stop it ourselves, but we're like the building blocks for other missionaries and the people to gain faith that one day, you know, Nigeria and all of Africa will turn to a more Christian society. And I just truly thank the Hankuses over here, because they are the ones who really, you know, did the work. And I humbly thank you guys and the rest of the PCOG, because you guys had faith in me when I didn't. And I just humbly thank you for that.
Just want to remind us of the opening scripture, the last line of the opening psalm that was on the screen this morning. It said, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." And in that is a challenge to us. If we're to emulate God, then we need to be faithful to the Lord and to the words of our mouth. And we need to be loving towards everyone God has made. You don't have to go to Nicaragua or Nigeria or Haiti to love people. They're all around us. They're our neighbors. They're in Adams Garden. They're in Stanford and Port Chester, and just keep rolling it out. Amen. And that would be our challenge today, to emulate the God who loves by being people who love in word and in deed.